the beginning of the, well, actually at the end of last year already, we chose a verse for this year. And it's a verse that is in your staff devotional. Now, I know that not all of you are on staff, but I trust that all of you have one of these booklets. If not, I think there are some in the office, and there are some there right by the door. So, and I'm not going to necessarily refer to that tonight, but I did want you to understand the purpose for this booklet is that our staff throughout the summer can read this together in the mornings and as they gather together at the beginning of the day, and it sets a theme for the staff, and the theme this year is praise. And I trust we're learning to praise the Lord. I was going to say that's part of the therapy. You know, if you want to release some of these things, these clouds sometimes that the enemy wants to put over us and things inside, one of the best ways to get the victory is to learn to praise the Lord. Amen. And maybe you have to walk up and down a little bit, and maybe you don't feel like it, but you praise him anyhow. Right there. You see that? Praise the Lord anyhow. That means it doesn't matter about the circumstances I'm going through. It doesn't matter necessarily even how I feel. Because I'm not controlled by my feelings. How many people are controlled by their feelings, their emotions? And we have to learn to instead be controlled by what God says. And by the facts that we have in His Word. And we step out in faith upon His promises. And we claim the victory and we praise Him. You can praise your way through. You can praise your way into victory. And it's just so contrary to the natural mind. You know, we think we got to fix things. How many is a fixer here? You're a fixer? You got to fix everybody's problem, right? And we have to fix our own problem. Yeah, we're fixing everything. Well, you know what? Let God fix it. And how do you turn it over to God? You praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we're learning to praise the Lord, I trust. And I know that in some circles, people don't praise the Lord anymore. I mean, you know, out loud, that's kind of strange. What if I said hallelujah on the subway? Huh? Would that be all right? Yeah? Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! You know, Uncle Edwin, I think, would tell the story how he was riding the train one time with Brother Wanamaker. I think I have this right. And they were on the New York City subway. And they were separated. You know, it was crowded. And I don't know. You know, it used to be called strap hangers. Did you know where that comes from? Anybody know where the term strap hanger comes from? Did you ever hear it before? There used to be straps on the subway car that you held on to, leather straps. You see, I'm dating myself now, right? Strap hangers. And so they were separated, and they were standing there, and Brother Wanamaker leaned over and saw Uncle Edwin and said, Edwin, praise the Lord! And I don't know if Uncle Edwin responded right away or not. I better be careful. I'm being taped here. I don't want to say anything wrong. But after a while, Brother Wanamaker said, Edwin, praise the Lord! And he was waiting, and I guess Uncle Edwin responded, and then that satisfied Brother Wanamaker. But the idea is that we can praise the Lord anywhere. And we don't have to necessarily draw attention to ourselves, and I don't think he was doing that to draw attention, but the idea is that we can communicate with God in praise and in prayer anywhere we are. In your car, on the train, on the bus, in school, at your job. Praise the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. But tonight I just wanted to look at the theme verse with you. And it's taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And it goes like this. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Did you get that word? Continually. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Hebrews 13:15. I'll read it one more time. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And I wanted to consider that verse, first of all, in its context. But if we took it out of just what I read to you, it would seem that giving thanks is something that we ought to do continually. Praising the Lord is something we ought to do continually. We're giving thanks to His name. And so I think it's important, though, that we see where this is placed in the Bible, because it says therefore, you know, or through Jesus, therefore. So the therefore is there for a reason. And it ties back to something that goes before, right? So therefore. So let's open our Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Hebrews 13. And can someone tell me maybe what is the theme of Hebrews? Or I know that maybe is a big question, but if you had to summarize Hebrews, what are some of the thoughts that come to mind?
Better,
the thought of being better. And what is the writer comparing? He's comparing the Old Covenant, right? The Old Testament, so to speak, with the New Testament, the New Covenant, right? So we have the law that's given by Moses, and then we have the salvation that Jesus brings. We have the old sacrifice system that was instituted under Moses as a way to approach God, and then in the New Testament we have the sacrifice of Jesus himself, right? And so that's kind of the theme of Hebrews, how Jesus is better. And we have better promises, and we have a better covenant, and we have a better high priest, and we have a better hope. And so this verse at the end of Hebrews kind of brings those thoughts together. Let me find it in my Bible. So beginning at verse 9 of Hebrews 13, it says this: "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them." So I imagine in those days, as we have even today, there are certain maybe traditions or teachings that are not necessarily necessary for salvation, but people say, well, you should be doing this, or you should do it this way, and for them in that time, well, you can't eat food, you know, offered to idols, it has to be dedicated and so on. And he said, let's not get into arguments about that. He says, "We have an altar," verse 10, "from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat." Now, what is he talking about? He talks about the tabernacle. Now, I think that's referring back to the Old Testament tabernacle. And they offered sacrifices upon that altar, and they partook of the sacrifices. The priests were given a portion of that food to eat. But he says, we have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. What was he saying? Well, I think he's pointing us to the cross. The altar that we look to, the altar that we, by which we approach God, is Calvary, beloved. We don't sacrifice on an altar that was, you know, in the Old Testament times anymore. We don't bring sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Our altar is the cross. There, the ultimate sacrifice was made. Jesus died once for all. Once for all. And so we have an altar, beloved. And that altar is the cross. And he goes on to explain that. He says the high priest carried the blood of the animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. And so, again, remembering the purpose of the book of Hebrews and the theme of Hebrews, here again in this very last chapter, he is reminding them, yes, there was an Old Testament way. There was a sacrifice system that was in place until Jesus came. And now that Jesus has come, he too offered himself. He too was offered outside the city gate. He suffered to make us holy through his own blood. You see, one of the points of the book of Hebrews is that really the blood of bulls and goats can't make you holy. It really didn't change the person that brought that offering. They still were dealing with that sinful nature, that sin nature, the power of sin. But when Jesus came, beloved, and he died on the cross and he fulfilled the will of his Father, that power of sin was broken. Sin shall not have dominion over me. He made a way for us to be free from the power of sin. He made a way for us to be holy. And it's not about trying to be better. It's not about trying to do the right thing. It's not. No, there has to come a transformation within. And that's only the work of God by his blood and by his Holy Spirit. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. And I trust that all of us have learned to come under the blood. Because that's the only way that we can be holy. This is the only way that we can come into the presence of God. I'd have to believe that tonight we could enter in, beloved, because your heart has been sprinkled with the blood. That you are under the blood. You see, that's the only way. And if we find that we can't enter in, then we ought to say, Lord, bring me under the blood. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me holy as thou art holy. Another prayer that has been prayed is, make me as holy as a sinner can be. Make me as holy as a sinner can be. It reminds us again that we need Jesus. You have no holiness in yourself. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's what the Bible says. We have no confidence in our flesh. But we trust him to transform us into his likeness. We are being changed, beloved. You're being changed here at camp. You're being changed into his likeness. And so that's the setting for this verse now. Now the verse, our verse is right after this. So to make people holy through his own blood, let us therefore go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for a city that is to come. And so he reminds us again, this writer, that it's not about this world. We have a home prepared for us. We're looking for an enduring city, a city that is to come. And so we go to him, we bear his reproach, we identify with him. You know, the world may tend to mock us as Christians and mock our belief and our trust and faith in a Jewish carpenter who died 2,000 years ago upon a Roman cross. What does then the world have to do with me? Nothing, right? How could that affect me? But beloved, the cross is the power of God to those who believe. To those who believed. To the others, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But when the Spirit of God opens our eyes and we see, oh, I need Jesus. I need to run to that cross. I need to feel his blood applied. I need to be cleansed. I need to be forgiven. He puts within us a hope. This hope that here we don't have an enduring city, but we look for one to come. We look for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you have that hope within you? John, in writing his letter, he says, whoever has that hope purifies himself even as he is pure. This is why we desire to be holy. Because, beloved, you have a heavenly and a holy calling over your life. And it ends in that place that he has prepared for us. It ends in heaven, in a city that hath foundations that will not pass away. Hallelujah. 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so I think the thought here is this sacrifice of praise. You know, I don't think it's so much. I think the word there is, it ties together the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament, the sacrifice that Jesus made upon the cross. And now we have a sacrifice as well. And we're not necessarily called to die upon a cross, beloved, but we're called to offer ourselves up to him. And I think really that's the thought of this word sacrifice. It's not so much that I have to give up something as much as I offer up something. And I'm offering to God the praise that he deserves. I'm offering up, as we heard our sister and others, it has to come from the heart. My praise is not just empty words. When it says the fruit of your lips, yes, it's something that comes out of our mouth. But it's not something that just comes out of our mouth. It comes from our hearts, beloved. And the reason and the only way that you and I can truly offer up praise to God is if my life is given to God. That's the basis for praise. That Jesus, you have all of me. And so I'm going to offer up what I can give to you. And I can praise your name. And yes, it is a sacrifice at times when I don't feel like it. Maybe you could apply it that way. Praise the Lord anyhow. But really, the sacrifice is the sacrifice that Jesus made. It's by him, it's through him that I can actually praise God aright. I can't do it without him. I can't do it without the salvation he's purchased for me. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by... What does it say? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And so the only way that you can truly say praise the Lord is if he's got a hold of your heart. If you've been born again, if you've been born of the Spirit. And as our brother encouraged us, then to be filled with the Spirit. To be able to walk in the Spirit. Do you think a person who walks in the Spirit is a person who praises the Lord continually? What do you think? Yeah, I think so. So one of our prayers as we offer praise ought to be, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I can't praise you continually. Maybe we struggle with that. Well, Lord, you need to help me. You need to fill me with that Holy Spirit. And Lord, you praise through me. You set my heart on fire, Lord, with that love that will cause my heart to overflow in praise to my God. And so I'll leave it with you, just those thoughts. Are you given to God in such a way that you can praise him continually? Through him, therefore, let us offer this sacrifice of praise continually. Even the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Lord, I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for being my Savior. I thank you for being my healer. I thank you for being my deliverer. I thank you for being my rock. You see, these are his names. These are his names. And they express what he has done for us or what he wants to do for us. Lord Jesus, you are my baptizer. You are the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Lord, we give thanks. We praise you. We praise you. Lord, help us to be praisers, dear God. Forgive us when we grumble and complain. Forgive us when we get upset over these little things. God, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, and put your praises in my heart, in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, Lord, help us. And Lord, we want to give ourselves afresh to you tonight. Lord, we want to be able to offer this sacrifice of praise aright, to really offer it up to you. And so, Lord, we begin by offering ourselves. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all the Lord has done for me. I never will cease to praise him. For all his grace, so rich and free, I never will cease to praise him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's sing together number 41 in our hymn books, and then we'll have some time to pray. I trust I ended not too late, but I want you to spend some time before the Lord at the close of this meeting, all right? So why don't we stand again and sing 41? Wonderful Savior.
To me, wonderful Savior. wonderful Savior. My heart is filled with praises to Thee. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, gajabagabagabajo. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I think one of the wonderful things that we experience here at camp is that we're believing for one another. We're believing that God will fulfill His work in each life. And we ought to come with that faith and expectation into every meeting. Lord, not only to meet me, but Lord, meet all of those that are gathered here. Young and old alike, Lord, we all need you. And so tonight, I thought it would be good. I think it would be good if you feel that you want to give yourself to the Lord tonight, to really offer yourself up to Him and say, Lord, I'm yours. If you feel like you'd like to do that, just come and stand here in the front. And I know that there'll be those who will want to pray with you, but don't wait for the person next to you, but just step out and say, Lord, Lord, I'm yours. I surrender all to you. Anyone like that? Thank you, brother. Anyone else come? Oh, Jesus, Jesus. We'll sing together that chorus, I surrender all. And if you feel God is tugging upon your heart, just step out and thank you. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender. Go to our knees or have time of prayer together, but let's just touch God. Believe for those who have stepped forward here, Father. Yes. We give ourselves fully to you, dear God. Oh, God, that you possess us. Lord, you give yourself in all your fullness here. Believe us. Let there be a well.
Oh,